Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm in a church that's alive. Come on, somebody. I'm in a church that believes in miracles and the power and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And thank God we're not in New York or California. Man, I have fallen in love with the Wisconsin people. I love Wisconsin people. And I'm staying in Trumbull. That's where I'm staying. I'm telling you, that river, that area is so beautiful and so nice. And, you know, people here are so kind. And here's the thing. I'm from Dallas, Texas. Now watch. Let me paint a picture for you. If you break down on the 635 freeway in Dallas, Texas, you hear a distinct sound, Pastor. People drive 110 miles an hour on the 635. If you're broken down, good luck. You better start praying to Jesus because you're not getting any help. You break down in Trumbull, you break down in Sparta, you break down in Onalaska, you might have 5 to 10 people pull over and help you. They'll probably pray for you and take you to lunch after. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, the nicest people are here, and I love this area, and I'm a big hunter and fisherman. Oh, my gosh. And your pastor, of course. The rest is history. Yay, man. And man, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. How about that worship right there? How about that worship? Come on. That's good stuff. Amen. I'm telling you, man, there's freedom here. There's liberty. The flow of the Holy Ghost, I can feel it in here, man. And it starts with your pastor. I love this guy. I love his heart because he wants to see people saved, restored. He wants to see families put back together for God. He's for community. Amen. Come on, that's a big deal to God. Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. I'm Assembly of God. You're Assembly of God. We're Spirit-filled, so let's just go. How many know it's okay to have fun in church? Hello. I always say it like this. If God had an 11th commandment, I believe it would be, thou shall not bore in church. It's okay to have fun, praise the Lord. And I got to tell you, tonight, John and I are going to be in Onalaska at River of Life Church. Anyone here of River of Life Church? Hey, we're going to be there 6 p.m. I want you to come. I want you to bring a friend. Don't come empty-handed and show up. Because tonight, it's going to be a great night. You say, why? Because when you come to our meeting, it's like this, a camp meeting, revival, move of the Holy Spirit flow, and it's worth it to come tonight just to see who shows up. We have the most unlikely characters come to our meet. Watch, let me paint a picture. Recently, we've had 2 city mayors get saved, 2 police chiefs get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. We had a senator's wife get saved at our meeting, and this one, hey, and recently, a year ago, we had 2 Hell's Angels get saved at our meeting. Come on, somebody. They saw a flyer a little grandma put up in a local diner, and they came out. And these guys come in their leathers, Pastor, and they're Hell's Angel. Everyone's like, oh, my gosh, that's the Hell's Angels. What are they doing? The guy comes up, hey, I saw you on the Walker Texas Ranger show. I said, yeah, that was me. He goes, I want to see you break something. I said, sure. So I ripped a phone book, ripped a license plate. He goes, that's cool. And afterward, the best part of all, they're up there weeping, getting saved. But hey, Pastor, it takes a lot to shock me. Let me tell you, I've been doing this 27 years, ladies and gentlemen. Been to 40 countries from Bangor, Maine to Kodiak Island, Alaska. And people say, boy, nothing would shock you. Houston, Texas, we're preaching. And I give an altar call, and a man in the back, Pastor, with wild hair and a vulgar t-shirt on, he gets up, and he's crying, and he's getting saved. I said, my gosh, and he's both hands raised, hallelujah, the Spirit of God's all over me, shaking under the power of God. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? Don't judge. Don't judge. Go lay hands on him and pray the prayer of faith. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Go be his friend. I go down and do what the Holy Spirit says. I lay hands on him, and I start to pray. I go, you getting saved? And he goes, yes, I'm getting saved. I'm getting saved. And I mean, he's sincere. And then he whispers something in my ear I'll never forget as long as I live, Pastor. He whispers in my ear, I've robbed two banks. I said, what? He said, I've robbed two banks. We had a modern-day bank robber in our revival service Sunday morning. So you know what I did? I didn't have any choice, Pastor. I said, sir, if you bring every criminal you know tonight from this county, I'll break out of police handcuffs just for you. You won't even believe what happened. That night at 6 o'clock, we hear a knock at the door at 5 p.m. I'm like, Pastor, that's the guy. And I look, I go, look at this. And he opens the door for the guy, and he walks in with his girlfriend, and 19 men follow him. 19, you know who they were, I found out? The leading crystal meth dealers in that county, in that city. All 19 men got saved. Their girlfriends got saved. I get a phone call 2 weeks later from the sheriff. You know what the sheriff says? I kid you not. Boy, whatever happened at that Assembly of God church, I would like for you guys to come back probably twice a month. He said, our crime rate has dropped in half since you've come to our city and visited our county. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? You know what I realized? We don't need tonight at On Alaska, we don't need another get-together. We don't need another little, hey, here we are. No, we don't need Steve Curry to break another baseball bat. You know what we need? A good old-fashioned God happening that changes something in our city and our community. Can I get an amen, church? Come on, somebody. We need a God happening. And you know what? Tonight, is it okay if we just go for it, Pastor? Should we just go for it? Is that okay? Okay. He said he'll throw me out. I believe him, amen? You know what? Tonight at 6 o'clock, get there early. River of Life Church, we're going for it. And hey, I'm going to break out of police handcuffs. We're going to bend an inch of steel in our teeth. I'm going to rip the license plate. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to attempt to snap a bat, bam, over my back. People say, man, that must hurt. Yes, it does hurt, amen? And when you set that Guinness World Record, 34 bats, man, when you press that into your femur bone, that's got to hurt, man. Yeah, every single time. It leaves a mark, amen? I'm the only guy in this room brave enough to do that. Praise God, amen? So I thought, well, Pastor, you know, we might as well have fun. This is that kind of church. This is in honor of all the ladies in the house. We declare and decree a no cooking week this week. Hallelujah. I knew that'd get a big response. So I'm going to take this pan purchased from local Walmart yesterday. I'm going to roll it up into a burrito, and we're going to take it back for the return policy. Amen? Come on. Can we put our hands together? Come on, somebody. Here we go. Let me see if I can do it. Okay, come on. I know, I can see, Pastor, the look on their face. But Brother Steve, what does all that have to do with Jesus, though? Thanks for asking. Nothing. Nothing. It has nothing to do with Jesus, but it has to do with people. And when you go fishing right here in Wisconsin, you got to use bait. But if you want to catch the right fish, you use a certain type of bait. We have a bait that works. 17,000 people born again and saved last year at our altars. Come on, somebody. We found a bait that works. Hallelujah. And by the way, why do you break stuff, Steve? Because I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. Hallelujah. But I break stuff pretty good. Amen? Come on. Come on, somebody. Woo! I'm telling you, it's going to be wild tonight at River of Life, 6 o'clock. Make your plans, change your plans in mind. If you already have plans, it's going to be worth it to come to see who shows up. It's going to be awesome. We're going to, man, there's no telling what's going to happen tonight. Pray. More importantly, Jesus is going to be lifted up. This doesn't save anybody. The anointing of the Holy Ghost will draw people to salvation. We're going to see miracles, breakout meeting, amen, tonight. How many want to see it? Say, yeah, come on. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, parents, grandparents, where are you at? Where are my grandparents and parents? You here today? I'm going to make an announcement, go into the word a little bit. I'm going to speak. Listen, we are in a life and death struggle for our babies right now in America. Our kids and grandkids, there's a literal demonic attack on our kids, Pastor, like I've never seen in world history. Come on. You know where we get to go? Where preachers aren't allowed to go. America's public schools. How many think our schools are one of the greatest mission field in the world today? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you right now. We go into the public schools. Let me tell you, if we just went in our dress-up clothes, suit, and tie, how many know they're not going to listen? You roll up a pan, break a bat, huh? Lift a 300-pound tree trunk over your head. That'll get their attention, amen? Come on, somebody. Lectures don't work in the public schools, because if you did, by the end of the day, they'd be drunk, high, and pregnant. Come on, somebody. Come on, they don't listen to that. You know what? But you'd break something, they'll listen, and the Holy Spirit and the anointing brings a message of hope. We can't preach Jesus or mention the J word, but before every school assembly, Pastor, we raise both hands, we walk the gymnasium, and we say, ministering angels, come in the name of Jesus. We pray before every school assembly. And you know what we see happen? Kids giving us razor blades after. Thanks for what you said today. I'm not going to cut myself. Thanks for what you said today. I'm not going to kill myself. Suicide, second leading killer of our kids today in America. You know what I tell the kids? Suicide's not the ultimate high. It's the ultimate lie. Come on, somebody. There's always a better day coming. It's never time to quit, give up, or give in. And ladies and gentlemen, we were just in Cleveland, Ohio. You know what the principal said? I've been wearing a bulletproof vest for the last 2 years with my whole staff. He said 8 out of 10 of my kids don't have a dad at home. Did you hear last year, Pastor, 12 senior citizens were killed from the sucker punch game? From high schoolers daring each other to run up and sucker punch the elderly? We lost 12. You won't believe this. I go to Illinois 3 weeks ago. The principal takes John and I to the restrooms. I walk in. I go, what? He goes, yeah, it's true. Kitty litter boxes in every restroom. He said, our kids, if they identify with the feline race, we have to do this. It's state law. I said, my gosh, what has this world come to? Ladies and gentlemen, there's an all-out assault and attack on our kids. And we lost, ladies and gentlemen, 12,000 kids went missing last year in Houston. They didn't even know where they just found 200 of them in a basement. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, human trafficking, the number one increasing crime in America. Come on, somebody. But how many know? When the enemy comes in like a flood, come on, God says, I will raise a standard against it. I've had kids, Pastor, after the assembly. I had one boy, he comes up, gives me a razor blade he was cutting himself with. He goes, my girlfriend dumped me. I was going to just take my life and say, what's it worth? But would you pray with me? I laid hands on him, prayed with him under the power of the Holy Ghost. He came back with his parents that night. Whole family got born again. Hallelujah. He said, he gave me the razor blade and said, I don't need this anymore. Hallelujah. How many know God's in the miracle working business? Amen. And how many know, hey, people say, wow, look at your credentials and you've been on this and you've been. I'm a messenger boy. I said, I'm a messenger boy. And you know what? God, Jesus is the big stuff. Let's make that very clear. I'm nothing. I'm just a servant boy. Amen. And you know what? How many know these schools? How many know those kids are worth it? And how many know most of the schools I go to, they don't have a church like this. And I promise you, they don't have a leader like this man sitting on the front row. They don't get 1 ounce of encouragement at home. I went to California schools. Guess what? The principal said, good luck today. I said, excuse me? He said, last speaker we had on this stage, they booed him off the stage. But when I went up, under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost, you know what? Because I'm not there to brag or show off. The Holy Ghost showed up, and guess what? You could hear a pin drop. And afterwards, I had kids coming up giving me razor blades. I had kids coming up saying, hey, you should see the little kids. They cheer and scream. The middle kids, cool. They get up and they cheer. The high school kids cry. And it's the anointing. How many think it's one of the greatest mission field in the world today? Come on, somebody. How many think our kids need some heroes in their life? Pulling for them, amen? So you know what? We've got a lot of schools on the docket. And you know what? The Holy Ghost said, Pastor, this fall will be your biggest impact in the public schools than you and John's all your years combined. He said, you better look out. How many remember David Wilkerson years ago? Come on. one of my heroes of the, listen to this. Did you hear his prophecy? What, in 87? He said, there's coming a day where all the churches will be closed and New York will be the hub. Wow, that kind of like happened big time, amen? But he said, listen, but he said, after that, the greatest outpouring is going to come the nation has ever witnessed in world history. How many have heard of the prophetess Corrie Ten Boom? Oh, she's anointed, powerful woman. You know what? She was flying to do a prophetic meeting. She was going to preach and prophesy at a conference. The Holy Ghost hit her mid-flight. You know what he says? Holy Spirit said, ask the stewardess, go ask the pilot where they're flying over right now. So she did what the Holy Spirit said. Stewardess went up, asked the pilot. She comes back. She goes, Miss Corrie, we're flying over this part of Wisconsin we're in right now. Is my mic on? We're flying over this part of Wisconsin right here where we are now. And the Holy Ghost said, that's where it's going to begin. The greatest outpouring the world has. Come on, somebody. There's something about Wisconsin people in churches, I'm telling you. I could feel it when I met your pastor. When I walked in here, there's a flow. This man doesn't go by an agenda. He goes by a flow, the Spirit of God, and lets him move. You see him come up and pray for that brother? Huh? Now he's feeling better. What if he didn't listen to the Holy Spirit? Hello, you better be tuned in. Hello. Because how many know we take this stuff serious, preacher? Come on. We take this stuff serious. I'm going to speak here. Now listen, I want everyone here to know, look right here, look me in the eye. God's put us on this earth to make a difference. More than to show up and take space on a pew in a chair, and more than to breathe oxygen, God has put us on planet earth to make a difference. God can do more in 5 minutes in your life than you and I can do working hard 50 years. I'm going to speak here for the next couple hours, so let's dig in. I knew that'd wake some people up. Huh? What? It's a couple hours. Just kidding. Relax. Big breath. Breathe deep. You know what today? I want to share my heart for the next couple minutes. And I pray. You know my prayer? You be encouraged as you walk out. Your head lifted higher, your shoulders back. There is no fear because we are children of God. I am a child of God. And today I want you to know, you know what? As I stand here, listen, I'm just going to go. Pastor said, just go with it, whatever the Holy Spirit says. When I say, life is like a coin in your pocket. You can spend the coin or dollar bill any way you want, but you can only spend it once. What does that have to do with anything? Let me tell you what it has to do with everything. You and I have one life to live. I don't know about you, but I want to make my life count for God every single day because tomorrow is not promised. Hello. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause. Christ is the only cure for the disease called sin. Life is but a vapor. It appears for a moment. That's why he hears from God. That's why he's the lead pastor, the shepherd of this flock. Come on. You must hear the voice of God. And I stand up here today, Pastor, I could have never imagined in a million years how God would have picked someone like me to touch millions of lives all over the world. There's a story in the Bible, Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Let me just, for sake of time, let me paraphrase. This story is so powerful. It's one of my favorites. It's what pushes and motivates me. People say, 27 years, don't you get tired? Yep. Do you miss your wife? Yep. Been gone 12 days in a row right now. We're going to be back Tuesday, 26th of this month. Well, that's a long time. I bet you get sore and you get, yep. Why do you do what you do? Because I want to be like the four men in this story I'm going to tell you about. These four men in Mark 2, 1 through 12, let me tell you, they were not ordinary. They were extraordinary men. What do you mean, Steve? My Bible says these men have a friend who's on a mat, who's crippled, paralytic, cannot help himself. Come on now. And it says in my Bible, they wanted to get their friend to the house where Jesus was, the miracle worker, hello, and let him demonstrate. But they get to the door. My Bible says the crowd's so large, Pastor, they can't even get near it. So the four men on a mission, sent from God. They were focused. They were determined, man. They were hungry. They wanted to see extreme happen that day. And they get, aren't you glad these four men didn't walk in their flesh? Oh, boy. What do you mean? They make the effort to get them to Jesus, to get their friend to Jesus, who's a paralytic, cripple, can't help himself. And in the flesh, when we walk in the flesh suit, the flesh likes to complain, murmur, and grumble. Could you imagine if I would have been there, Pastor? Oh, gosh. Look at this crowd. Brother, we've come all this way. We've made all this effort. We wanted to get you to, because when Jesus is in the house, things kind of happen. Miracles kind of break out. Come on. And they get, and he's on the mat, on the ground. They get there. These four men, aren't you glad they didn't say, hey, brother, we love you. We appreciate you. But man, whew, our schedule's full today. Man, we got meetings. We got things to do. Hey, next time, God bless you. Be warm. Be filled. Love you. Oh, no, friend. What do? The exact opposite of what their flesh wanted them to do. They hoist him on top of a roof, bust a hole through the roof. Come on, they became roof busters. Come on. Not Ghostbusters, but roof busters. Amen. And if I would have been one of the four men, I would have said, man, good job, guys. Come on, give me some of that. But I also would have been the guy would have said, well, great. There's Jesus. How are we going to get him off the... Hello, you following me? You can't just slide him off the mat through the hole. Come on. Come on, you got to create and think. And there probably happened to be four corners like this, four corners on this sheet, on the mat. They probably tied a rope, a twine, something to each corner. And they all lowered him down in front of Jesus, got their hand on the rope, got him in front of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith, not their effort. Lord, look what I did. Lord, look how far I've come. Lord, no, they just got their hand on the rope. Jesus saw their faith. And at the end of the text, you know what the Bible says? He walked out into the presence of them all. And at the end, it says, we've never seen anything like this before. You know what we hear at our crusades week after week? Last week, you know what we heard? Steve, my daughter got saved. She's been addicted to drugs for 10 years. We've never seen anything like this before. 3 weeks ago, an alcoholic, a man came in, 38 years old, came forward, got delivered of alcoholism, and said, I'm tired of this burden. I want to be saved. I want to be changed. Come on, we've never seen anything like this before. See, I can identify with this story because you're looking at a paralytic. You know what the doctor said? January 23rd, 1967 at 10:05 p.m., La Mirada Municipal Hospital. Head surgeon walks up to my dad. By the way, men make their plans. God determines the outcome. Looks at my dad, Assembly of God man, full of the Holy Ghost, a deacon, an elder. Guess what? Doctor looks at him and says, good news and bad news. Guess what? Good news, your son, 10 fingers, 10 toes, heart and lungs perfect. Hey, his heart effraction ratio is perfect. But we as men, as staff, as doctors, we looked at the x-ray. We don't see a way for your son to ever take one step. My father did not hang his head. Shame it, blame it, curse it, nurse it, rehearse it. My firstborn, why me? I've been faithful. Why did... He decided that day to make a little announcement. He looked at that man, that doctor, and said, sir, with all due respect, my God's faithful. My God's able. My God will make a way for my son where there is no way. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. He will have the first word. He will have the last word. And by the way, sir, when my God fixes something, he fixes it real good. Does not make mistakes or junk. You are not an accident here today. You're here by divine design. That doctor didn't know what he was thinking. He was like, whoa, whoa, I've never heard this before. But guess what? Growing up, long story short, tonight the rest of the story at River of Life, 6 o'clock. Two canes in each hand, waist belt, 12 buckles down each side, special shoes, skinniest kid in my school. I wanted to be a basketball player, and I couldn't talk. I had a speech impediment. I stuttered, and my goal was to play basketball. You know what all my friends said? You'll never do it. We'll never pick you. There's no hope for you. You're a throwaway. You're nothing. But when no man would ever pick me, God looked down from the rafters of heaven and said, there's my boy. He's fearfully and wonderfully made. I began a good work. I'll finish that good work. I'll complete that good work. Woo, all through the Bible, he took nobodies and made somebodies. He took losers, he made winners. All through my Bible, he took impossibilities and made them possibilities. Come on, somebody. When God says it, that settles it. No devil in hell can stop it. So guess what? My dad knew an NFL strength coach. I began working with him for 4 to 5 months every day. And man, I'd try to walk. I'd try to. And I worked with a speech coach 5 months, first day back to school. Under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost, I pushed that door open, and all the ones that said, "We'll never pick you," told you so. Told you so. Told you so. And I looked them all in the eye and pointed my finger and said, "Told you so. My God's bigger. My God's greater. My God's able. My God made a way. Come on, he shut the mouths of my critics." Well, tried out for the track team, became the fastest athlete in my school's history, and captain of my high school team, led them in scoring. Full ride scholarship to play in Arkansas. The throwaway. The nobody. Well, Steve, that's a great story, but I'm not called to ministry. I don't have a degree. I'm not an apologist. I didn't go to Bible college. Oh, there's no way I'm called to ministry. Do you have a neighbor, Bible, and a coffee pot? Welcome to full-time ministry. Come on. You are called. You are called to make a difference. Be a rope holder in your sphere that's around you. Amen. That's the truth. Do what you can with what you have where you're at. God will increase what you have, and he won't leave you where you're at. Had a grandma in Los Angeles. I'm preaching 4 services, 4,000-member church. The sanctuary is as big as a football field. They have a door every 10 to 12 feet around the whole sanctuary. Miniature little coffee bars all around the sanctuary. Guess who manned them? Beautiful, sweet, precious, Holy Ghost-filled grandmas. I love grandmas. And they had little church greeter, and when you walk through, they give you a cup of coffee, stir it for you, put the condiments, and they ask you, and they give you a Bible memory verse for the day. So I walked in, she stirs my coffee, I said, "Thank you, ma'am." She said, "Hold on, son, here's your Bible memory verse. At the end, before you leave, you got to recite it back to me." I said, "Yes, ma'am." You ain't going to mess with no Holy Ghost-filled grandma. Come on, somebody. Yeah, long story short, guess what I said? Who is, this was such a ministry of impact, rope-holding ability like I've never seen in a church all my life. People are in such a good mood, like right here. So I said, "Who's the head of the Grandma Brigade?" She said, "It's Grandma Lois. She's been here 52 years. She's right there." I run over, "Hey, Grandma Lois." And I run across sanctuary pastor. Closer I got, the smaller she became. She was like 4'2", but with that Holy Ghost honey bun hairdo, she's 6'11". Amen? Come on. She had that big hair. I put my arm, I said, "Grandma Lois, what a ministry you have." She tries to discredit her ministry. "Oh, it's nothing like yours. You're famous. You're on Walker, Texas Ranger. We love Chuck Norris at our church." I said, "Grandma Lois, praise the Lord." I said, "But what a ministry you have." And I said, "Did you know, Grandma Lois, at the foot of the cross, it's the same to God?" Me breaking bats on Walker, her serving coffee. Do you know at the foot of the cross, it's the same? Do what you can with what you have where you're at. What can you do in this church to be an impact? You can't make an impact till you make a contact. Think about that. You know, preacher, he can't do it all, amen. There's a place for you here to be a rope holder. And I said, "Grandma Lois, what a ministry you have. Let me pray for you." And she starts. "No one's ever told me this was such a valuable ministry." I go, "It's so valuable to God. Now you go serve coffee, hug those babies, kiss them, love them. I'll break baseball bats and roll up pans for Jesus." And God says it's the same. Yeah, your preacher, he's a radical rope holder. My kind of guy. I'm a radical rope holder, but let me tell you about this guy. 6'5", 285. Biggest forearms on a man pastor I've ever seen. I've got about 18 inch, his is 20, tattoos from here to here, big head of curly blonde hair, piercing blue eyes. Ishinru Karate, black belt, hand-to-hand combat specialist, 8th degree. You know what he did for fun? Oh, he just happened to run Angel Dust from L.A. to Mexico with the Hell's Angels motorcycle gang. Feared no man, shot and stabbed people, didn't care. He went to Mardi Gras every year just to purposefully get in fights, beat up 22 men in one fight. He had no fear. He ruled with an iron fist. His dad, president of Hell's Angels. His mom, only woman to have a patch with the club ever. Did his first drug deal at 11 years old. Known as one of the meanest prisoners in America at one time. And guess what? Guess what he had? an 81-year-old grandma, his little grandma. She was 90 pounds soaking wet, but full of the power of the Holy Ghost. And every day he would take her food to her assisted living. And every day she would walk in, big tough Hell's Angel, he'd walk in, there she'd be. She'd go, "Billy, have a seat, boy. You ain't messing with no Holy Ghost filled grandma. I told you, somebody." And she would sit him down and prophesy, "One day you're going to be saved. You're going to be set free. You're going to be my preacher." He laughed and scoffed. "I'm a Hell's Angel. Rough voice, tough. I'm a Hell's Angel, not a heaven angel. That's for weasels, for wimps. I'm a tough guy." She said, "You're going to be saved, set free. You're going to be a preacher." You know what she'd do then? "Billy, Jesus loves you, this I know, for my Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you." He'd begin to cry every day. "Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you, my Bible tells me so. I gotta go, Grandma. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow." Boy, he got up quick every day. He had conviction of the Holy Ghost. As he walked out the door, preacher, she said, "Sick him, Holy Ghost. Make his life miserable. Make his life a living hell. Bring him into the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus." He was going to do a drug deal when he left that day. She knew it. The Holy Ghost showed her. And all of a sudden, she gets on her knees. Uh-oh, look out, devil. She got on her knees and began to intercede, raised both hands and said, "Bring him! Bring him in." He went to do the drug deal. But this day would be different. Oh, yeah, he had the bulletproof vests on. He had the brass knuckles, the knives, the guns in the back. Oh, he had it all. When you deal with the Hell's Angels, it's a real deal, man. You'll lose your life. You tell any secrets, you're at the end of the river at the bottom with a, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, that day, he looks in the mirror. He's getting ready to go do the deal. It was different because guess what? He hears, "Billy, Jesus loves you, this I know, for my Bible tells me so." "No. Little ones to him," he hears the words of his grandma, begins to weep, falls down, cries out to an almighty God he does not know but knows about. And he says, "Save me, change me, like my grandma says you can do." That day he didn't get saved, he got radically saved. He got radically changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, and guess what? 9 months later, guess where he ends up? He's on stage with us sharing his testimony. You will be saved, you will be set free, and you will be a preacher. He averaged 5 to 7 people, pastor, per day, winning them to the Lord. Not on a church, not up here, subway, bus stop, airplane. Hey, the gym, Pizza Hut. He stood up on a table Sunday night, 200 people in Pizza Hut, and screamed, "Emergency, if you don't know Jesus, you could die and go to hell tonight." Everyone's choking on their pizza. Hello. And it's a true story. He's preaching, does an altar call, half a Pizza Hut gets saved. Come on. Whew. I'm telling you, but guess what? The manager got saved, comped all our pizza. Hallelujah. True story. Led him to the Lord, sinner's prayer. But you know what he had? He had a little girl he brought named Jessica, 7 years old. He'd bring her on the crusades, put her on his shoulders, big head of curly blonde hair, and here's his big head of curly. And you know what they do? A skit called "Should I Tell Him or You Tell Him?" She'd sit up there and go, "Daddy, should I tell him? I don't know. Should you tell him? Daddy, should I tell him or should you tell him?" I saw 100 people in a Marriott gather around and someone said, "Tell us what?" She goes, "My daddy used to do dope deals. Now he does hope deals. My daddy used to be a real mean man and beat people up, but now he prays for people. He prays for me and my mommy. He reads the Bible to me every single night before bed, and he's so full of the power of the Holy Spirit." And they would win hundreds to the Lord. You know, the Bible, I don't understand sometimes, pastor, bad things happen to good people. But I know God is in charge of it all. And you know what I've learned? Let the Holy Ghost do it. She comes down with leukemia, blood cancer. She goes into 3 therapies, loses her hair, all of her weight through chemo. She's holding her daddy's hand in Cedar Sinai. She says, "Daddy, the devil did this to me. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed." Closed her eyes, went to be with the Lord. You won't believe it. They take her body to the morgue, the bottom floor of the hospital. Hours had passed. Bill asked the nurse to go see her. She sneaks kicks him in the back down the freight elevator. They walk into this massive freezer. Her body, true story, on a table with a sheet. He picks her up, just starts talking, baby. I love you. I miss you. I'll see you real soon. It isn't goodbye. I'll see you later. Nurse is bawling. She goes, I bring hundreds of parents here. They're not like you. They curse God, blame God, shake their fist at God, and you praise God? Your daughter's dead. He goes, oh, no, she's healed. She has no more cancer. How many know some are healed here? Everybody's healed up there. Come on. You can't deny that. And he said she's walking streets of gold, and she's crying. She goes, I go to church. I'm a religious person, but I don't know Jesus like you do. Pastor, he put her little girl back down and put the sheet over. You know what Bill does? Baby girl, should I tell her or should you tell her? Since you're with Jesus, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to do it in your memory, baby girl. Ma'am, would you give me the honor and the privilege? Would you do this in memory of my daughter? Would you do this for Jesus? Would you allow me to lead you in a prayer that'll change you, rearrange you, and start you over right now? She said, I'd be honored, sir. Knelt down by her body right there. He led her in the sinner's prayer. Her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life for all eternity. For whom the Son sets free, friend, is free indeed. Last time they did the skit, should I tell them or you tell them? Steve, why do you say that? Why do you tell that story? Because in her life and in her death, she knew what it meant to be a rope holder. The urgency. She knew how extreme it would have to be. If she can do it in death, can we do it? We have air in our lungs. 27 years, that's why I'm a rope holder. 27 years traveling the world, 40 countries. Hadn't been a cakewalk, I promise you. But you know what? We're called to make a difference. And you know what? If he picked me, a crippled, stuttering, skinny little boy they called Skeleton Boy in school every day, I promise you, he's picking every one of you. Would you bow your heads? No one move, please. No one move. If you're here today and Jesus is not, I repeat, not the premier attraction of your life, it's not safe to leave. Life is short and fragile. Life is fleeting. If you're here today and you need forgiveness, you need to repent, you need a fresh start, a new beginning, I'm going to count to three. When I get to the number three, if you need that prayer to count for you, I'm going to ask you all over this building to shoot your hand straight up. I don't care if you're five or you're 95. If you're a visitor or this is home church, home base, it doesn't matter. All the angels in heaven rejoice and shout on your behalf. I'm out of time. I've got to pray today. But if you're here and you feel that little tug, you say, you know, Steve, I need a comeback story. Steve, I need a fresh start. I need my slate wiped clean and that fresh new beginning in my life. Well, you're in the right place, right time, right now. You know, today I didn't come to give big sermonette. I came to be a friend of this pastor in this church. I'm not a guest speaker. This is a divine appointment today. Come on, this is divine today. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you need a breakthrough, you need a miracle, you need a new beginning, maybe today you've never been born again, maybe you've never even opened the door of your heart to receive Christ, well, you're in the right place, right time. Right now, your new season begins over your family, finances, and your future right now. So I'm out of time. I've got to pray when I get to three. If that prayer needs to count for you, slip your hand up all over real quick when I get to three, and I'll see that hand. Are you ready? If you feel the tug of the Holy Ghost, thank God it's not too late. Don't ignore it. Don't put it off. You'll get better at doing it. I did it. I know. Listen, this is your moment. If you need this prayer, slip your hand up on the count of three. One, two, three. Slip it up quickly. Thank you. Hands are going up. This is a divine appointment, not a speaking engagement. Pastor knew it on the phone. I knew it. Our spirits bear witness. This is your day. This is your, anyone else? Quickly, quickly. I'm out of time. Thank you. Hands are going up all over this place. Quickly. Anybody else? We're going to pray. Anybody else? This is your moment. This is your new chapter right here, right now. This is going to be the best fall of your entire lifetime right here, right now. Anyone else? I'm looking one last time and we're going to pray. Anyone else? Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Would everyone drop those hands? Would you pray this prayer? Could I have the honor to lead you in this prayer? Would everyone here say, Dear Lord Jesus? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, here I am, Lord. Not just part of me, but all of me. I pray this day, you do a new thing. You open a new chapter in my life. Just like Jessica, make me a radical rope holder in the Spirit. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart God raised Jesus from the dead. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. From this day forward, I am never looking back. I don't care what the enemies tried to whisper to me. I'm not going under. I'm going over in the name of Jesus. I'm leaving the land of not enough. And I'm going to the land of more than enough. Here I am, Lord, totally yielded to you. I receive salvation. I receive forgiveness. And I receive eternal life. From this day forward, I'll never be the same again. In the name of Jesus, change me. Change my family. I pray a supernatural hedge of protection around my family, my finances, and my future. I receive it all today, Jesus. I will be a rope holder for your kingdom. No matter what, I will never turn back. From this day forward, a new season is opened in my life. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, a mighty hand of praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for a new season. Thank you for a new move of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Give God another praise in the house. Glory to God. At the end of the service, I'll be here to pray with you. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. We got enough pulling power in this room to pull this whole city back together for God. Come on, somebody. And how many know there's no Lone Ranger Christianity? Can I get an amen? So, you know what? If you need prayer, I would love to pray with you. Matthew 18:19, where two or more agree, right here. We're going to pray. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Glory to God. I want to be very sensitive right now. I want everyone to look me in the eye before we close, and I have the preacher come up, the man of the house. He's allowed me to share this vision. I mentioned earlier our babies. We're in a battle form right now, folks, like I've never seen in history. You know, some kids need some rope holders in their lives. And I tell you what, when I say they don't have a church or a preacher like this, I'm not kidding you. Because when I walked into Columbus, Ohio, Pastor, the janitor, met me at the door. And he says, boy, you're 6 months too late. Wish you could have been here 6 months ago. Our star athlete hung himself from the basketball hoop and had a note taped to his shoe. You know what it said? Mom and Dad, I can't take the pressure anymore to succeed. Right here, right now in America, if there ever was a time to go into the public schools, I believe the greatest mission field in the world today, and hold the rope, I believe it's now. There is no tomorrow. Come on, someone. I walk into Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Bible Belt, John 3:16 t-shirt. Principal looks at me and says, hey, I'm going to have to ask you to turn that inside out. It might offend someone. Why on our money it says, in God we trust? Why does it get up for our money, not our kids? So you know what I said? Sir, do you have any cash in your pocket? He said, yeah. I said, you won't be needing it because it's got the little word God on it. It might offend. You know what? He winked at me and laughed, said, I'll just keep your shirt right side out. Come on, somebody. Come on. If you don't stand for Jesus, you'll fall for anything. So we've got a nation. We've got kids know nothing about God. Oh, they've heard it's religious. No, they don't know him. They know about him. So you know what? Let me tell you something. It's not easy doing what we do. 48 crusades a year. This year, we're going to be in over 100 public schools. To God be the glory. Great thing. Pastor, it's never happened like this. And you know it's the Holy Spirit starting this fall. We've already started. So this will be the biggest fall. It's not easy. Because I told Pastor, it cost us $1,000 to do a whole 45-minute school assembly to see the whole school changed and transformed. The kids go home with a flyer and bring their parents to the revival. And we see a whole community change. That's what it costs us. But guess what? 25, 30 years ago, we charged the schools $1,000. We had no other way to do it. But guess what? The schools that needed this message the most couldn't afford it. So we drove by those schools. But how many know the Holy Spirit has a way of getting a hold of your heart? Come on. You know what he says, Pastor? You're doing it the wrong way. Let the people in the church that send missionaries to Africa and India, let them send you to America's schools, go with you and share in the reward. And let me bring back miracles to their home. Guess what? So we're faith guys. Like your pastor, we go, amen, Holy Spirit. We're going by faith. Guess what? Boy, the Holy Spirit will test you. The next week, Colute, Texas calls. There's a stabbing of eighth graders in the school, in the hallway. Principal calls us, said, you got to come. He said, but I don't have the $1,000 for two of my assemblies. He said, I don't even have gas for our school buses for my own kids to go on a field trip, but would you come? You know what we said? Lord, you said, go by faith. And we went. And we went to two Assembly God churches and took up a little offering. And they sponsored both schools. And that day changed everything. Now we get to go to the biggest schools, the roughest schools, the biggest, the smallest, inner city. We haven't charged one school in almost 25 years. How many think that's the way to do it for God? And so you know what? I want to say this. I told Pastor before service, we have 10 schools coming up. You know where they are? On the border of Mexico. Brawley, Calexico, El Centro, California. I was just there for a couple schools, Pastor. And guess what? Eighth graders dealing fentanyl in the school hallway. They said, these are some of the roughest schools. We'll have to have the sheriff go with you. I said, okay. I'm like, wow, this is serious. They've asked me to come and speak and us for the testing kickoff for school year. And how many think I could, how many know that's where Jesus would go? And guess what? They only get breakfast and lunch in these schools. They don't eat at home. How many think that's where Jesus would go? So you know what? 10 schools. We have to believe God. We're not even... So in just a second, Pastor's going to tell you more about this. All of you are going to get this envelope like the one in my hand. And Pastor, ever since we talked on the phone, the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to bring you heroes this year. And you're going to go over the top and you're never going to have lack. So guess what? In just a second, you know what I'm praying for? You'll never even guess who the heroes are that sponsor schools. I told Pastor, we had a 92-year-old grandma get one of these envelopes. She goes, boy, you're not going under. You're going over. Sponsored 10 schools, wrote a check for $10,000 and said, I'm starting a momentum of miracles in this ministry. The next city, Roach, Missouri, a 16-year-old girl sponsors four schools. She says, I'm a waitress at Captain Ron's Seafood Restaurant, and I want kids to go to heaven. The next city... We had two homeless people sponsor a school. Lady on the front row, Pastor, had a little baby. She goes, the father left us. He'll never support us. We're homeless. She puts 10 $100 bills in an envelope. And me trying to be Mr. Spiritual, I go, oh, that's okay. You keep that. She goes, she ripped it out of my hand and she said, no, I'm sowing to my baby for her to have a home. She said, you ain't stealing my blessing. 2 weeks later, a contractor gave her a house worth $143,000. When you take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business. Come on, somebody. When you pull for a child, you better get ready to hit the bullseye of God's heart, because what you've done to the little ones, you've done it directly to Jesus. Pastor, I want to say one more thing. I'm bringing the man of God up. Listen, people always ask me, is what you're doing, does it work? Let me tell you. Front row seat, I was doing an assembly last year. 1,000 kids are going bananas, but one sitting there, black wristbands on, Holy Ghost said, self-cutter. You know, brother, you're in the ministry. You know what I'm talking about. These kids are cutting themselves. I walk up after the assembly. You know what I said? Honey, how'd you like the assembly? What do you care, man? Screamed at me in front of the whole school. What do you care? And I sense hurt and pain. I said, honey, I do care. I have 5 minutes till my next school assembly. I go, tonight there's a revival. Here's an invite card. She goes, my dad's the meanest drunk in town, and my mom's a heroin addict, and she shoots up right in front of us. My dad doesn't take me to church. I go, we'll get you a ride from the youth pastor and the church van. She goes, I'll only come if I can bring the volleyball team. I said, you got a deal, girl. We'll bring the whole volleyball, 14 of them on the team. Youth pastor picks them all up, brings them to the church, front row VIP seats. And that night, that girl jumped off the seat, got born again, shook under the power of God. Her whole volleyball team got saved. She turns around, comes to me and said, I'm sorry, I was rude, forgive me. My dad has been so mean and violent, I can't take it any. He hits and beats my mom. I can't take it, Steve. Please help me. I said, she goes, I'm Ray Ray Santos. I go, Ray Ray, give me your hand. I joined her in the prayer of faith right there. We laid hands. I said, Mom and Dad, come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And she bawling. Next night, Mama shows up. Mama gets born again, gets saved, gets delivered. Pastor enters her into a rehab home that week. And I said, Ray Ray, pray. Daddy's got to come home now. Dad, I don't know, Steve. He's really mean and violent. Everyone in our town's scared of my dad. But on Wednesday night at 7:05 p.m., 6'8", 450 pounds, cigarettes rolled up in both sleeves and a cowboy hat on, looked as mean as a Texas rattlesnake. It was Ray Ray's daddy. He stood there, didn't move the whole service till I put my arm through the bricks. Boom! And I saw him go, yeah! He screamed with a WWE scream like I've never heard. I'm like, Holy Ghost, you got him now. That big man ran to that altar, weeping before God. It was Ray Ray's daddy. He prayed the prayer of faith, got born again, and got saved. Are you ready for this? He gets up off his knees. He walks to the pastor. He handed him a note. You know what the note said? I disown this junk garbage family. I don't want to be part of this family ever again. And don't any of you ever look for me. You'll never find me. After Jesus, I want to get baptized with my whole family, preacher. I said, fill up the hole. We're dunking them tonight. Come on. Get the baptismal ready. We filled it up. Baptized him. It was the whole talk of the town. And I was leaving pastor, and I'm bringing him up now. Guess what? You want to know why we do what we do? You want to know why we need heroes? Ray Ray goes, Steve, I want you to have this as a memorial of me. Never forget me. She gives me the razor blade she was cutting her wrist with. And she says this, Steve, this is what I used to cut myself with. When no one was around, I hid it for a long time. I don't need it anymore because I know now God loves me and has a plan for my life. If you ever get tired of doing what you do, just remember the next school you go to, there'll be someone there just like me. You want to hear something ironic? This school had no sponsorship. The principal knew I was a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. He tried to profile me and say, we don't have room for you here. We're busy. But the Holy Ghost grandma found out. Her two grandbabies were in the school, marched to the school, wrote a check, sponsored it for $1,000, and said, do we have a deal, sir? And you ain't messing with no Holy Ghost filled grandma. The principal said, yes, ma'am. Steve can come. And that day, that week, her two grandbabies got saved. Ray Ray and her whole family. One act of faith, one act of obedience, one rope-holding 80-year-old grandma changed a whole county. Come on, somebody.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.